Now, the third mistake of dealing with the inner child is letting the inner child take over. Well, this is where it gets tricky. On the one hand, we want to acknowledge that the inner child has its needs. But on the other hand, we don't want the inner child to be at the steering wheel and run the car to the ground. See, when the inner child takes over and we let the inner child take over, as I mentioned before, there are plenty of self-destructive patterns that may ensue. Especially in relationships, I see this. You know, when someone gets triggered in a relationship and the inner child comes out, then they may say things they actually don't regret. They may make impulsive decisions, run away, or just, you know, basically go into this self-sabotaging patterning that can really be a jeopardy for a relationship. The inner child is not necessarily a good leader. The inner child is, you know, not necessarily the one that should make decisions. It's the adult that we need to rely on. And so when you feel overwhelmed by your emotions, when you, you know, are just drowning in your anxiety or feeling there is just this overall sense of powerlessness, you know that your inner child is the one who is right now in charge. So what do? Let the inner child just run wild, just like when the parents leave the house and the child is all alone and it's a mixture of freedom and complete panic and it's ultimately chaos. You have to reclaim that position of the adult. You have to realize these are the moments when the child is taking over that the child believes that you, the adult, are not really here or you're not really reliable or capable of handling the situation. Because most of those inner child strong, intense uprisings are about protection, self-protection. Protection through becoming invisible, you know, hiding out, running away. Protection through throwing a temper tantrum and, you know, getting some attention, getting some help from someone. Protection through pleasing others and just ignoring all the own needs that we have. Protection through, you know, overperforming and, you know, just really obsessing about having done everything right. I mean, there's, you know, this really, really draining self-protective mechanism in the inner child, because the inner child really couldn't necessarily at the time when it was a child take care of itself. And if it couldn't trust the adults, it basically had to rely on its instincts on how to make it through another day. It sounds traumatic. It wasn't necessarily about life and death, but it is something that a child feels. If I don't get love, I may not get any housing or nurturing or being protected, so I need to find out what I need to do to not get in trouble or to not be in danger. And then there are these different self-protective survival patterns that the inner child draws on. And those patterns then show up when the child tries to take over. And that is why it's so important to realize this trust between you, the adult, and the inner child needs to be established or needs to be reinforced. It's not as strong as it should be because the inner child is not leaning on you and saying, hey, I'm scared, or wow, this feels too much. It basically says, get out of the way. I take over and I pull us into hiding or I pull us into overdrive. And even though you as an adult don't feel it's necessary, you don't know what to do because the inner child doesn't listen to you. Yet. But this, again, can of course change. And again, listen to this guided meditation. It's a great way to start that connection and then reinforce it the more often you listen to it to the inner child. Because the goal is not just to heal the inner child and answer those questions and resolve the confusion it just has been taking with it. The goal is for the inner child to feel so safe and so at home with the adult that it doesn't have to worry about surviving or dangers or protecting you, that it can simply be itself. And then it can show its real gifts and qualities. It can bring back up that what it was before it lost its innocence. You know, it may be for you, all of a sudden there is a creativity that is re-emerging that you knew as a child. You had it. You were great in drawing or doing something with your hands or writing or whatever it was, and you totally lost it. And for others, it may be just dreaming and having great imagination or feeling there is this connection to nature or the spirit world or whatever it is that the inner child was really, really naturally drawn to and naturally good at. Once the inner child feels safe, this can reemerge, and a piece of the puzzle, a piece of you that you have been missing, something that you knew you wanted to experience and express in the world, but you couldn't at the time, didn't seem safe or wanted, that finally can reemerge, and it just will bring you so much more joy and a sense of wholeness. And maybe it will also set you on a different path. So don't let the inner child take over, but make sure that you also realize, I have a job to do. I am the adult who needs to learn to calm the inner child down. I need to realize that when I'm anxious, I don't have to be afraid of the anxiety, which feels so overwhelming. I need to imagine that this inner child is just freaking out, and I have to approach the anxiety, approach the scared child with compassion, with a sense of calmness. So there is something also for you to grow into, a loving parent that can take care of the inner child and make it feel seen and safe.